cave 16 years ago. And I vividly remember the situation. So it was Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. That was 13 years ago, Tovshin Samaches, and 3 years earlier, Tovshin Samachay. It was Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. And as I get home from davening, it was about 45 minutes before Sav Zman Achilles Chometz. Person knocks on my door. I see he was very down in the dumps, and he says, "I got up late. I just got up 15 minutes ago. I didn't daven yet. What should I do?" I could daven. By the time I'm going to finish davening, I can't eat any chametz, so I won't be able to wash for a suda Shabbos. Or should I make the suda before davening? Well, I didn't have much time to contemplate and to analyze the question. But on the spot, I told him, "You go daven, get home from shul, you wash and you eat matzah, and that'll be your suda Shabbos." I could see the shock on his face. He was taken aback, and he said, "What does that all mean? Eat matzah on Erev Pesach?" I said, "Yes." He was so shocked that I'm confident never again will he sleep late on Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. And I thought at the time, that is reason enough to publicize this psak. When people will hear this psak, it is guaranteed they'll be up on time. So let's analyze this question. And there would be three different options or possibilities. One would be having the suda before davening. Would that be permissible? The other would be daven and have a suda without bread. Number three would be eat matzah. And that is the preferable solution. I will share the analysis why. Let's start off with Shalosh Yudis. Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Chaye kama seudos chayev odom lechem b'Shabbos. So the Chachamim say three. Reb Chidke, as very well known, says four. Shnehem mikro echod darshu. So the pasuk says, "V'yoyim Moshech lo hayoyim, ki Shabbos hayoyim el Hashem, hayoyim lo itimtzeuhu basoda." Three times does the pasuk say hayoyim, and that teaches us you need to eat three sudas on Shabbos. Rav Chita says four. Three sudas are by day, excluding the one you eat by night. Halacha kechachamim. Is this a chiyuv d'oraisa or a chiyuv d'rabbanan? Well, the Gemara darshens a pasuk. The pasuk says three times, hayoyim seems to be a d'oraisa. The levush clearly says, simarish tzadek alef sif alef, the chiyuv to eat three suda Shabbos is a chiyuv d'oraisa. Pashtut hasugya. The Mishnah Buris, if Kotan Aleph and Reish Tzadik Aleph, says, Asmachuhu Akro. So the Mishnah Buris seems to indicate it's a Mitzvah Derabbanan and it's an Asmachta. You're probably all familiar with the concept of Asmachta. Sometimes there's a Derabbanan, but Chazal attached it to a Pasuk. Chuvas HaRashba, probably the most fundamental and the most important source in this sugya. So on one hand, the Rashba says, it is a chiyav d'oraisa to eat pas on Shabbos. You have a chiyav d'oraisa to eat bread on Shabbos. But when the Rashba explains what is the source of this chiyav, it's quite clear. Then he maintains that the chiyav of Shalosh Seudos b'Shabbos is not a d'oraisa. The Rashba says it's a chiyuv min haTorah to eat pat on Shabbos because Shabbos wouldn't be different than Pesach and Sukkos. And Pesach, we have a chiyuv b'Erev Toichlu Matzos. Sukkos, we learn Gzer Shavet Tezvov, Tezvov, Machag HaMatzos. Why would Shabbos be lesser than Pesach or Sukkos? This is a fascinating argument. One could dispute this argument and say, well, Pesach is a chiyuv matzah. and it's only balayla. Sukkos we learn from Pesach. It is only by night. There is no chiyuv by day. So the Rashba comes up with a new source, a new argument, a new rationale why there's a chiyuv of eating pat on Shabbos. Why doesn't he simply say there's a chiyuv of shalosh seudos? So it's quite obvious, in my opinion, from the Rashba, the chiyuv of shalosh seudos Shabbos is not meritorious, it's an asmachta. And that supports what the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, and it goes against the Lavush. Benkach u'benkach, we're dealing with a mitzvah chamura. And the lesson of the Shulchan Aruch is, yehei zohir ma'oid. One should be very, very diligent in Shalosh Seudos and Shabbos. Must you necessarily eat bread? Yes. Reishai and Dalet Sif Dalet. Suda number one, Suda number two, need to be bread. You cannot be ace with anything else. The third Suda, that's a different source, not Reishai and Dalet, but Reish Tzadik Aleph. Four different opinions regarding the third Suda. Some Rishayim say, why would it be different than number one and number two? You eat pas. Others say Mezainis. Others say even wine. Others say even Peiros. B'Sha'as Adchak, Suda Shlishis, we rely, you could be Yaitzah without eating bread. And this is a big dilemma regarding this upcoming Shabbos, Erev Pesach Shechani is B'Shabbos. How do we eat Shalosh Seudos? This week I wrote a tshuva to a B'choshev Talmud Chochem who had an idea. Why don't we split the Suda by night? That is far easier than splitting the one in the morning. So you wash by night, you eat fish, bench, take a walk outside, beautiful weather, come back home, wash, eat the meat. So you have already two Sudas, and in the morning you don't even wash. You could have a 9 o'clock, you get home at 11, you don't need Shalosh Seudos, you don't need to eat pas. I totally rejected this idea. And I said, it's a major discussion in the Poskim. When exactly do you need to eat these Shalosh Seudos? So the Rambam clearly says, one by night, one in the morning, and one in the afternoon. Rashbo, Ramban, Ritvo, all quoting Shabbos Kufi Zayin, the Shittav Alochas Gedolos. Doesn't matter when, you just need to eat Shalosh Seudos. But I argue that everyone agrees you can have two Seudos by night and one in the morning. That is so unnatural. Doesn't make sense. Eating Yoiso Mikedesov Oberaila, two Seudos in the same night, and then the entire day one Seudah, no, that's impossible. So that's not an option. So there are two different approaches. Some split the Seudah in the morning, but that is not so practical. We barely have time for one. And we go into the discussion of Brocha She'ein Etzricha. My opinion and my minhag is, you eat bread in the morning and, you know, just eat a kazayas on your porch, in your backyard, wherever it is. And then you sit down to the meal and it's a Pesachdika meal. And in the afternoon, you drink a cup of wine or grape juice. You have some fish, some peiros, and you yotze shalosh seudos b'sha'as adchak without eating neither bread nor mezainis. I think that's the more reasonable approach than splitting the Seudah in the morning, and that is my minhag. But coming back to our discussion, eating bread in the morning, the Seudah Shniya, according to the Ravosh, it's a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. We proved from the Rashba it would not be a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. But still, the Rashba says eating bread on Shabbos would be a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. Are you Yotze by night? Maybe. But Kvoid Yoim Odif Mekvoid Laila. So it's more reasonable to be Mekayim that mitzvah D'Oraisa in the morning and not by night. In any event, it's an asmach. And in Mincha Sosha Moyed Amchele Kalas, I wrote an amazing siman about asmach. The latest version of that siman has 35 sources proving or disproving the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah Tetzayin. So the Ritva maintains in Rosh Hashanah that an asmachta is almost a deoraisa, almost. It's a ratzon haTorah. It's a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And it would almost be defined as a chiyuv deoraisa. Many Rishonim have a different approach. But I did make it clear that an asmachta is somewhat harsher, more chomer than other takanos that Chazal were not masmich al mikroi hakodesh or psukei haTorah. So foregoing the Suda in the morning, no, is out of the question. That's not an option. Let's check option number two, having the Suda before davening. That brings us to Brachas Yud Amud Beis. Ma'idach Sev lo tochlu al hadam. Lo tochlu kodem shitispalalu al dimchem. So the Gemara interprets the posuk lo yisoichlu al hadam. It is a prohibition. It's an avera to eat before davening. That's brought in the Rambam, Perek Vav at Hilchos Tefillah, and a Shulchan Aruch Ar Chaim Siman Pei Tes. The Gemara dashes another pasuk on this very same concept, the prohibition, the issur to eat before davening. Oisi hishlachto achrei gavecho. That's a pasuk in Navi. And the interpretation of Chazal and Brochas Daf Yud Amud Beis. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'achar shenizgo hazeh kibul al atzmo or malchut shamayim. How arrogant is this person? First he eats and first he drinks, and only then is he going to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's pure arrogance, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kamen nizgo adam zeh. Achrei shenizgo kibul al atzmo. On Malchut Shemaim. Is that a Dioraisa or a Derabanan? Shulchan Aruch Rav Peitet Sif Hei says, it's a Derabanan, Asru Chachomim. However, the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvahs, the introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs, and many times I point out, it's the only Sefer I know in which the introduction is far bigger than the entire Sefer. Is the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam. Most of the Sefer are the 14 roots, Yudalet Shroshim, which are essentially an introduction to the Sefer, and the Sefer is far smaller than the introduction. Shorosh Tet, Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam. The Rambam clearly seems to say that this is a Drosh HaGemura, that this is an Issur D'oraisa, to eat before davening. However, the Rambam in Mishneh Torah brings this halacha together with the Isser to engage in your personal affairs or do a malacha or say hello to someone and good morning before davening. Those are definitely in Issur D'Rabbanan. And the Rambam brings all these three halachas together. Asur lachol v'lishtot, ha'isur shel she'ilat shalom, clearly seems to indicate that we're dealing with an Issur D'Rabbanan. It is more likely that it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, and I'll tell you why. Because tefillah is an Issur D'Rabbanan, so how could the Issur of eating before tefillah being a D'oraisa? So the Rambam does maintain that tefillah is a mitzvah D'oraisa, chayav odam le'ispalel b'kol yoyim. But when to daven? Is it Shachris? Is it Minch? Is it Marif? Anything you daven, you say Moed Ani Lefonecho in the morning, you are Yoytze Min HaTorah. So once again, the Rambam is Mashman Sefer HaMitzvahs it's a D'oraisa. More likely, more reasonable, once again, we're dealing with an Issur D'Rabbanan. But once again, it is an Asmach. So it's an Issur Chomer. So foregoing Suda Shabbos might be a D'oraisa, more likely the Rabbanan, it's an asmachta, an avera chamura. Eating before davening, an avera chamura. To the extent that Chazal say, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'achar shenitga'e ze kibel al atzmo ol malchus shamayim. It goes against everything that has to do with Kabbalah's ol malchus shamayim. And it's an asmachta. Option number three, eating matzah erev Pesach. This is an issa that's not found in the Bavli, only the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says, Samechet Omud Beis, Mesechet Psochim, Hoechel matzah be erev Pesach, Keboila Rusosoi be Beis Chomiv. It's like have intimacy with your kala before you married her. What is the common denominator? Matzah tzada shaveh. How could we compare the two? Being with your wife is a great mitzvah, but at the proper time, and that is after Edison, Nisuin, Sheva Brochas. What is a mitzvah in its proper time might be an aveda if it's premature. And that is the same with matzah erev Pesach. Be patient. Wait till Tzeisat Yechovim. It's a great mitzvah in its proper time. But when it's premature, a mitzvah could be defined as an aveda. And that is the similarity. What Chazal say, Oichel matzah b'yerev Pesach k'boil ha'risosoy b'beis chomiv. Some of the Rishonim, Ravyo, Meiri, Chuvis Mari, Val, Simen Kuf Sadeh Gimel, have an interesting comment. It's brought in the Choyk Yankov in Simen Tov Ayin Aleph and Shulchan Aruch. So before you have a yichud with your wife, they say Sheva Brochas, and those are the Sheva Brochas Nisuan that they say at the Chuppah. Before you eat matzah, you have Sheva Brochas, Belela Seder. Which are the Sheva Brochas? Oh, there might be eight, they're not even seven. Kiddush has three Brochas. Berchas HaGefen, Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim, Shehechiyonu. Boya Pri Adoma that you see on the Karpas. Netilas Yudayim. So that's five. Six and seven would be Amoitzi Alechem and Awards, and Ashi Kedishonu B'mitzvoy Zavitzivonu Arachiles Matzah. But you also have Berchas HaGeula that comes before matzah. That's number eight. So it's a major discussion. So what do we subtract? What do we exclude? Which one? And why is that one excluded? But anyway, some of the Rishonim say, what's the similarity between these two? Why do Chazal say, well, it's about Sheva Brochas. But this halacha is not found in Bavli. The Tosfos read, Psochim Tzadik Tes says, this is not accepted halachic ruling. If it's not in the Bavli, why would we pass it? And this brings us to a fundamental question, Bidarkei Psika, Bidarkei Ha'ora'ah. So as we all know, when there's a contradiction, a stira between Bavli and Yerushalmi, the Bavli always has the upper hand. And the most important source of halacha is the Talmud Bavli, which comes before the Talmud Yerushalmi. We won't go into a discussion why that is, for many reasons. We don't have time for that today. But Bavli comes before Yerushalmi, the Bavli overrides Yerushalmi. How do we relate to halacha that is not contradicted in Bavli, but it's not found in Bavli? My fundamental feeling would be, if this halacha is coincidental, there are many sugyas the Yerushalmi might deal with and the Bavli does not. When you are familiar with shaylos and tshuvos, there are a zillion shaylos that might be found in some sforim and not in others. Didn't come up. But we're not dealing with a shayla that is coincidental. This halacha, is one entitled to eat matzah erev Pesach, is relevant to every Jew every year. It's relevant. It's a relevant question to every Yid, every erev Pesach, since Pesach Mitzrayim, going back thousands of years. And if the Bavli feels the same as the Yerushalmi, how come it's not written? So do all the Chachomim of the Talmud Bavli assume we're going to guess? We're going to figure out on our own? So if I would live 900 years ago, and many times I apologize in my shiurim and I say, if I would live 900 years ago, This is what I would say. But I'm fully aware I wasn't around 900 years ago, and probably for a good reason. So probably my feelings are not as important as I might sometimes assume. So if I would live 900 years ago, I would say this Yerushalmi should not be accepted ruling because it's not in the Bavli. And we base our halachic opinions on the Bavli. This is not a question brought up by coincidence. This is a question which is nageya to each and every Jew every year. And if it's not in the Bavli, it's not in the Bavli. So yes, my opinion would side with the Tosfos Rid. However, it's not relevant because it is in the Rambam and it is in the Shulchan Aruch, Tov, Ayin, Aleph, Siv, Beis. So I do agree. It is a prohibition to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. However, I don't think anybody says this is a deoraisa. It's not even an asmachta. It's just a svara bi'alma. Why is this a prohibition? Two different approaches. The Rambam says, "Kedei sheyehei heker ba'achilas matzah." It should be obvious that when you eat matzah b'leila seder, it's l'shei mitzvah. If you're going to be eating matzah all day, wouldn't be evident that you're mechaven l'shei mitzvah. So the Rambam says, Asru chachamim lechol matzah b'yerev Pesach. Diyuk number one, Asru chachamim. It definitely is not a diurais. And why? There should be a heker l'achiles matzah b'leila seder. The Meiri, on the other hand, explains k'dei sheyochol matzah l'tayavim. So according to both approaches, it is a k'peida ba'alma. It's not an Isser Chomer. The reasoning, the rationale is either there should be a heker that we eat matzah l'shem mitzvah or k'dei sheyochol matzah l'tayavim. Most people are anxious to get to the matzah. It's been a year, almost a year since we ate matzah. I happen to like matzah. Not everybody does, but I do. I think everybody is anxious to get the taste. You know, it's been a year since we had matzahs, especially if you have hand matzahs. They have a totally different taste than Mishnah matzahs that you eat all year. So according to the Meiri, the prohibition, the issa to eat matzah at a Pesach is k'dei sheyochol matzah l'tayavim. This is not an esmach. It's not even brought in the Bavli. And therefore, in my opinion, compared to the other two options, it's an isur kal. And that is why my psak going back 16 years was off the cuff. You know, I didn't really have time to analyze it, but I paskin, go daven. After davening, you eat matzah. Not a kazayis, but a kabetzah, because if you don't eat a kabetzah, you can't say amatilis you die. And just this week, after 16 years, I was so happy to see Baruch Hashem shekivanti ledat gedolim. And that's the psak of the Chasam Sofer. How come I didn't know about this Chasam Sofer all these years? Because it's not in Tshuva's Chasam Sofer. If it would be in the Tshuva's, I probably would know about it. Chasam Sofer Chidushim al Hashas at the end of Chelek Aleph, which is on Seder Moed, there are some chidushim on Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach. And I just happened to stumble on this Chasam Sofer in Tov Mem Daled. So the Chasam Sofer writes, if you don't have any bread, all you have in your house is matzah. What do you do at Pesach Shachalias B'Shabbos? All you have is matzah. So the Chasam Sofer writes, and you eat matzah. Because this prohibition, eating matzah Erev Pesach, is not found in Shas Bavli, only in the Yerushalmi. And it's an Isra Kal compared to the Chiyav of Shavashudis. So, Baruch Hashem, Shein Chani B'Derech Emes, and my psak is validated after all these years. Is this psak relevant only in a crazy situation in which a person gets up late, very late, and he can't make it, you know, eat pas after davening? It's relevant every year. In the IDF, Baruch Hashem, there are thousands of young, from soldiers, and in army bases, a week before Pesach, there is no chametz. You know, in your private home, you don't really have much of a problem. So you have some chametz in a bag, a kazayas for each member of the family. You go out in your yard, you eat the kazayas, the leftovers, either you flush them down the toilet. I don't like flushing bread down the toilet. It's not kvoida pas. I don't like that. But that is what most people do. I don't think it's an aveda. But you definitely could throw out the leftovers in a public trash can. I don't know what they have in other places, what they have in Beit Shemesh, but recently in Yerushalayim, we have these big canisters in which the trash goes deep down and it's covered and it's impossible to take it out. You need these special apparatus with these trucks to come. That is biur gomor, that's hefker gomor. If you throw the chametz into one of those trash cans, that is good enough. I don't feel comfortable putting bread into a toilet. But if there's no other option, I can say it's an avela. I don't think it's right. Yeah, echshayia. The IDF is very diligent about this. And there is no chametz in army bases or installations. So what do we do with Erev Pesach Shechalis B'Shabbos? Many ideas. What they actually do, and I discussed this many times with, you know, with the rabbi, not with the chief rabbi in the army. So they have special matzahs shenefu shelo lishmo. And that's a real frumkeit, doing matzahs shelo lishmo mishas ksira. You see, that's a chumra. Not only shelo lishmo mishas lisha, but shelo lishmo mishas ksira. Wow, that's really frum. But that is a big discussion. Arav Zsolti, Bezalel Zsolti, had a very close relationship, even though I was a younger man when he passed away suddenly so many years ago. And that was his idea. And it was a major discussion between the Gedolim. Could you eat matzah shenefel or shelo lishma erev Pesach? He said, if you can be yoitza with matzah shelo lishma, then there is no prohibition to eat it. It is not like Arusosoi lifnei chiposo. Others argue it's all about the taste, especially if it's about shiurchel matzah l'tiyavoy. Lishmo or shaloi lishmo, same taste. So if the rationale of this din is shiurchel matzah l'tiyavoy, why would it make a difference if it's lishmo or shaloi lishmo? Even according to the Rambam, if it's mishum heker, one would argue there is no heker. Matzah is matzah, whether it's lishmo or shelo lishmo. So that's not really a solution. What is the solution? We have no other option. We have no other option. We can't have chametz in army installations. A basis that would be a terrible mikshel. So going back to the Chasam Sofer, yes. If it's either eating matzah erev Pesach or not eating bread at all, preferable to eat matzah. And that was my psak going back 16 years. And that is my psak for the army and other similar installations. Erev Pesach shechalias b'shabbos. If you can't have bread, then you eat matzah. It's not an avera chamura. Especially bearing in mind that it's not in the Bavli, only in the Yerushalmi. And it is somewhat of a pillar to me why the Rambam paskins this halacha. As I said, if I would be 900 years ago, I wouldn't paskin this halacha. But as I also said, yes, I am fully cognizant of my shortcomings, and there's a reason I wasn't there 900 years ago. So yes, it's an isur clearly stated in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. But compared to the other two options, this is what we should do. So we discussed an interesting shaila. Before I say goodbye on this very special evening, I want to share a story with you. And as I said in the opening remarks of this year, this has been a very tough year, bearing in mind the loss of life. More than six people passed away from COVID in this country, in Israel. Millions in the big world, tens of thousands of our brethren. It's been a painful year. I personally knew many of those that passed away. Thousands are still suffering. We hope we're on our way out. And the development of this vaccine was siyata dishmaya. It was a miracle. Nobody believed it'll be available in such a relatively short time. Relatively short. But I remember Leila stated a year ago to so many families, it was a somewhat subdued, sad Seder. Not sad. We all tried to be happy. But so many elderly people were alone at the Seder, first time in their lives. So for the Seder, more than any other day of the year, families come together. We have our children, we have our einaklach around the table. And even this year, there still are many kehillahs throughout the world in which people will be alone. Some European countries, different places, there's a new surge in disease. But probably the saddest Seder I ever heard about was the Seder my father told me and others many times, and he used to relate this story at his Seder night. Probably the saddest, most tragic Seder and the most inspiring one was my father's Leil Seder 1945 in Mildorf. Many times I related this story when my late father first met my great Rebbe, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, the Divrei Yatziv. Second day Shavuos, 1944 in Auschwitz-Birkenau. But that's an amazing story I won't tell you again tonight. We go fast forward 10 months. My father and the Rebbe were together from Shavuos 1944 till the liberation, approaching the Yom HaMenorah 1945. 2 months before Pesach in Mildorf, which was a Nazi camp, Suffolk extermination camp, Suffolk labor camp. But it was hell. It was Gehenna. 2 months before Pesach, the Rebbe was busy talking about the Seder and about the matzahs they'll have. Everybody surrounding him thought he's insane. Some people were amused and others were annoyed. Some people just laughed him away. You're going to have matzahs. Dream about matzahs. Who's going to give you matzahs? Some people were embarrassed. Moshe Lazer Einhorn, I remember him from Williamsburg as a child. He told the Kloisenberger Rebbe, cut it out, stop talking nonsense, because it's an embarrassment. Matzahs don't fall out of the heavens. We're not going to have matzahs. The Rebbe was confident, Kodesh Baruch Hu won't forsake us. We'll have matzahs. Be'ezas Hashem. In the most miraculous way, 3 weeks before Pesach, the Allied Air Forces bombed a train hub, train station, which was about 40 minutes away from the camp in Mildorf. And the Nazis took a big group of Jews, about 50 of them, to clean away the debris from the tracks because the Germans need those trains to roll. to bring supplies to the fronts, and tragically, to bring Jews to the gas chambers. So one of the cars that was destroyed in that air attack was carrying grain, and tons of grain were just all over the place. And the Chazal are going to be asked those Jews coming home at the end of a torturous day of work to bring a few kernels of grain. So they tied their pants at the bottom and they dropped in a few kernels of grain. And every day they brought some grain back to the camp. And they took some rocks and crushed those kernels. And they had Erev Pesach Matzis. You know what Erev Pesach Matzis means to Hasidim? Erev Pesach Matzis are a gewaltige Inyan to Hasidim. It was the ultimate Mesilus Nefesh. They baked matzis. And my father always used to make with his hand. The matzis were this big, like little pancakes. Because they valued those matzahs on a brick, and the brick was only that big. And they made about 20 matzahs. After a 12-hour day of work, Erev Pesach, out of the hundreds of people in the barracks, about 10 came together, and they sat around the great Chazal of the Rebbe, my Rebbe, the Divrei Yatzif. So one person was standing next to the door, just keeping watch. If a guard would approach from 500 meters, you know, he would see him. And it would have to stop everything. And the Rebbe sat in the middle of that group. And his face was aglow, radiating a light, Loma Alma Hadain, of other worlds. He recited the entire Agodah Baal Peh, and they ate matzahs. The most amazing miracle. Most of the participants were ultimately to be great Rabbonim in America, the Nirbat Rav, the Vishav Rebbe. We know their names. And my father was one of that group. And whenever I tell the story, I choke up. So this is a story I heard from my father. This is a story I will tell my children and grandchildren. And if Mashiach doesn't come, I hope they will relate the story to their children and their grandchildren. And whenever I tell the story, I try to think what went through their minds when they said Hallel. In Mildorf, in a Nazi labor camp, 1945. I am quite confident that their situation was far worse than Avos Avoseinu beGolus Mitzrayim. In Golus Mitzrayim, there was no systematic extermination of Jews. Jews weren't murdered systematically. They worked hard. They were denied basic rights. But nothing beyond that. So for a certain period, Pari decreed to kill male Jewish babies, boys. But there was no systematic annihilation of a people. In Golas Mitzrayim, we find various Mamor Chazal, Bnei Yisrael complained. Under the Nazis, no one complained. No one opened his mouth. If you would complain, the only response you would get would be a bullet in the head, an immediate murder. So probably their forefathers in Golas Mitzrayim were in a far better situation than they were in Mildorf. So why did they say Hallel? And what was their joy about? They rejoiced and ate matzah. I think it was the ultimate expression of the Dveikus in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, we love you, despite everything that we experience, and we believe you love us, despite everything that happens to us. We don't understand why, but yes, called the Yavid Rachman and Atav Avid, and they rejoiced. They rejoiced about being the chosen people. So my Rebbe many times used to say that he remembers in one of those horrific camps, and Mumar once approached him and said, Rebbe, do you still say Atu Bechartonu Mekarawamim? Did you still believe you're the chosen people? And when this will be over, will you still say Atu Bechartonu? And the Rebbe responded, I will say it with more fervor and more passion than ever before. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being the oppressed and not the oppressor. Ma bein bini le bein chami. So I think that was the most holy Seder ever, the most inspiring one, the most sublime one, and the most tragic one. And it's an amazing story of devotion, of emunah, of betochen, and of mesiras nefesh. And my father used to tell the story at his Seder night, and so do I. So Baruch Hashem, when we come together, free people, in our Eretz HaGdoisha, the fulfillment of a 2,000-year dream, and Baruch Hashem, we can be together with our families in Eretz Yisrael. We have so much to thank for. We have so much to thank for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll say Hallel. B'lev sameach, b'nefesh chafetzo. And let us hope that the Hallel we say will also go up to the heavens. And we should be zaycha b'kora b'yameinu to the fulfillment of Avtochas HaTorah. Ki yamei tzeischem me'eretz Mitzrayim, arenu nuflois. We should be zaycha b'kora b'yameinu to Yeshua's Olam, to a Geulas Netzach, to be as Goel Tzedek and be Binyan Beis Amigdosh, B'mheiru V'yameinu Amen. Chakosha V'sameach to all of you. It was a schus and a pleasure to be together with you.
Thank you so much, Rav Weiss. It is indeed just an absolute pleasure to hear your words of Torah and inspiration. And again, I want to thank the Leibovitz and Barashansky family who have dedicated this year in memory of Mr. Barashansky, Zichron Levracha, his first yahrzeit, which happened on Gimel Nisan. And thank you very much again, Shai.
And
happy birthday, Rabbi.
Thank you. I'm not telling you how old I am.
No, it's okay. But next year, Bezrat Hashem on Tet Nisan, we will try to remember to bring a cake. You gave up already your date, so I wrote it down.
Okay, I hope to be an old man someday, according to the interpretation of Chazal, the way Chazal described as okay. And I want to thank my dear friend and lovely Talmud Shai Lesnik, because from my point of view, you know, he made this happen. And he brought me, you know, to the community in Beit Shemesh. So Shai, have a beautiful Yom Tov with your beautiful family, and a Chag Kosher V'Sameach to all of you.
Thank you again, Rabbi.
Chag Sameach, Rabbi.
Chag Sameach, everyone. Yashar Koach.
Chag Sameach.
Thank you so much.
Chag Sameach.
Yashar Koach.